Welcome to another edition of The Talking Stick. I'm your host, Sandy Johnson. The Talking Stick focuses on issues relating to the greater Earth-centered community. Traditionally, a talking stick has been used in circles, giving each person an opportunity to speak their mind without interruption. Some circles use stones or crystals instead of a stick, while in other circles, the talking stick can be anything from a piece of driftwood to a branch that has been beautifully carved and decorated. The talking stick puts the focus of the group's attention on this one person and what they have to say. Much like the talking stick, a microphone can be used in a similar manner. Through our talking stick, we aim to bring you insightful, educational, and entertaining programming of a spiritual nature. This edition of the Talking Stick features an interview with Starhawk, who is on the road again for peace, liberty, and preservation of democracy. She will be speaking about her participation in the demonstrations against the World Economic Forum, which will take place over the first few days of February. I have on the phone with me Starhawk, noted pagan author and activist. And Starhawk, you're coming to us from New York City, are you not?
That's right.
And why are you there in New York this week?
I'm here in New York City to help organize and participate in the protests against the meeting of the World Economic Forum, which is taking place January 31st through February 4th.
And that would be the WEF.
The WEF.
And for those people who are unfamiliar with the WEF, what do they represent and who are they?
The WEF is sort of the meeting ground of some of the world's wealthiest CEOs and representatives of wealthy corporations with some of the world's most powerful politicians. And while it's not a formal institution like something like the WTO, the World Trade Organization, it's kind of the informal meeting ground where they do a lot of networking, where they actually make a lot of the decisions that lead to global policies. The World Trade Organization, in fact, was actually born at a meeting of the WEF.
So was this kind of the grandfather then for the WTO?
Yeah, it's, you know, the place where they sit around, schmooze, and dream things up.
The good old boys network?
Exactly. You know, and we're protesting because basically we're not in favor of a world that's run by elites of any kind. We're in favor of a world of real democracy, where people actually have a voice in the decisions that affect them.
So during the events of these demonstrations, what is the message that is going to be sent not only by you and the people who were there with you, but by the other participants? What message to the WEF are you sending?
Well, the name of our coalition is Another World is Possible, and that's basically the message that we see. There's a choice between the kind of future that these institutions are laying out for us, in which very few people hold more and more power and more wealth, and the kind of future, the kind of world that we want to see, which is a world where businesses are accountable to communities, not vice versa, where producers have to actually account for the real social and ecological costs of what they produce, where people who work, who labor, are rewarded for their labor, can live lives of dignity and actually realize their own dreams and aspirations. We want a world where some things are actually not part of the marketplace, where you say, you know, there are things that are actually too important. They're too important to life, or they're too rare, or too precious, too beautiful to be exploited, and we need to protect those things.
And that would include the privatization, such as things like our water, our clean air.
Yeah.
So with the WEF now, can you give us any names as far as different movers and shakers behind the WEF, like any big corporations that we may need to be a little bit more aware of?
Well, Enron was until recently, but I believe they've just kicked them out.
I wouldn't know why.
Right. You know, all the major corporations, Citibank, Nike, you know, all the major oil companies, Cheney is a member. It's the usual suspects.
Yeah, we've heard the names before, I'm sure, definitely. So now the demonstrations are taking place in New York, but where exactly are they going to be taking place?
Well, the meeting is at the Waldorf Astoria. So on Saturday, the big march will start in Central Park and march down towards the Waldorf Astoria. And we're not yet sure exactly where the police are going to establish a perimeter zone. On Friday night, we're doing a vigil and a ritual in Washington Square Park at 6 o'clock to try to create some healing energy. A lot of the activists that I've worked with now for a long time have been really through a lot. A lot of the actions have been very rough, and many people have been hurt and can really use some healing. So we want to provide some of that for people and for the people of New York who have been through some really horrific, traumatic experiences and intense losses.
How many people do you expect to participate in these actions?
Nobody really will know until the day of the action, but we're looking probably at 10,000 or more.
And can you give me kind of a rough idea as far as how many would be representing the pagan community?
I'm not sure how many will be representing the pagan community.
But you do have a large representation of the pagan cluster there, correct?
Yeah. You know, we're expecting at least several hundred people to come out Friday and possibly more. But, of course, they won't all just be the pagan cluster. It'll be many people from all different coalitions. The ritual is open to people of all religions or no religion whatsoever.
So what will be part of this ritual? Can you kind of give us an idea of what kind of mood you're going to be setting, what type of magic you're going to be brewing for this event?
Well, they planned their meeting over a major pagan holiday. Which
yes, they did.
The holiday of Brigid, the ancient Celtic goddess of water, in fact, and the fire. The holy well and the sacred flame. So she was also the goddess of the forge and of poetry and healing. So we are going to set up a healing well. We're going to create Bridget's Forge, where people can forge tools to build the world as the future that we want to see. And then the tools will be taken into the march on Saturday and become part of a large pageant involving the Statue of Liberty, who we see as a sort of incarnation of Bridget carrying her torch.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So we'll have shrines that people can visit, and then we'll have a spiral dance to raise some energy for the actions and to sort of revive and nurture the spirit of liberty.
Well, that just sounds absolutely incredible, and I can only imagine the kind of energy that you'd feel with this going on there. Now, if other people were so inclined in the New York area or wherever they may be to join this movement and get involved, what can they do?
Well, people can check the website at anotherworldispossible.com and get a full schedule and information throughout this week. There'll be art making going on at different places. And on Thursday and Friday up at Columbia University, there's a big conference the Students for Global Justice are organizing. There'll also be trainings going on at St. Mark's Church, the Bowery, on Second Avenue and 9th Street. There'll be direct action trainings, and there'll be legal and medical trainings. On Saturday, there'll be the march. On Thursday, there's a labor march. There's many, many different actions. So,
yeah, it sounds like it's definitely going to be a very full week.
People occupied.
Yeah, it sounds like it, definitely. For people who haven't really had a chance to become involved with a demonstration of any magnitude, whether it's a small, more local community-oriented or one of the large global actions, how could you describe, or if you can describe, what kind of energy and what kind of momentum that's driving this force to move forward for a better world?
Well, you know, there's been this campaign of demonization of the movement that just has gone on since Seattle. But my experience of the people who I've encountered are just that they are really the most wonderful people. Most of them are young, but not all. But they're just incredibly passionate and caring and committed and courageous and creative. And I know with this, there's a enormous energy going into making puppets and making art to carry in, to looking for new and creative ways to express not just our opposition, but what we want. So I experience them as a really enormously joyful and festive experience. You know, up until the moment that the police start attacking people.
Right, yeah.
Which does also occasionally happen, too.
Yeah, exactly. Now, do you expect the corporate media to rear their ugly head and spin this into their dark little twisted stories like they usually do? Or do you actually expect maybe they're starting to come out of their cave, so to speak, and really see what's going on in light of this whole Enron debacle?
Well, they've already been spinning the story, and there's already been a campaign of fear in New York City. Even the Village Voice, who you think would know better, just basically did a horrific and irresponsible and unprofessional smear job on the movement. But there's also been some good media. There have been media at the Art Space for the last few days. The BBC was there tonight. So we're hoping that we can actually get story out. We have a press conference scheduled for tomorrow. And I think that, you know, with Enron and with the events in Argentina, where people really just rose up and overthrew their government, we're seeing some of the crumbling of the facade of global corporate capitalism. Argentina was always referred to as the best student of the IMF, and their economy is in a shambles because of those policies.
And can you see this as a direct relation to the WEF and some of the policies that some of these kind of backdoor elite corporate groups are
yes,
making?
Yes, they're all, you know, they're the same guys and the same policies and the same ideology and the same belief system, and it creates the same results.
Now, being there in New York, I'm sure that it's got a whole different level to it as far as a demonstration than it would, say, prior to a 9/11 or if we ever had a 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of an impact do you feel that the demonstration will have now since 9/11, especially there in the heart of it?
Well, one of the reasons we're doing this demonstration is we feel it's important to really reclaim our political space and say, you know, we can't go home and stop protesting because of 9/11, because the conditions we were protesting before 9/11 haven't changed. In fact, if anything, they've gotten worse. And we can't allow ourselves to be intimidated by a climate of state terrorism and repression. If we want to maintain our freedoms, we have to actually stand up for them and exercise them. So, you know, New York is a very heavily policed city, has 40,000 police, the largest police force of any city in the world, larger than many standing armies. They're not noted for their gentleness, but, you know, we feel it's important to make our stand and to say what we need to say.
And those of us who are here at home and who aren't able to make these type of trips and make that stand, we're very fortunate to have people like you and others there on the front line being able to carry our messages from home directly to the folks who need to hear it. So thank you very much for doing what you do, Starhawk.
Well, there's a lot that you can do at home as well. You know, you can educate yourself. You can read beyond the corporate media. You can learn about these issues. You can talk to your neighbors. You can write letters to your elected officials. You can write letters to the editor, to your paper. But in some ways, just actually talking about them at your workplace, on the bus, to your neighbors, is one of the most effective things that we all can do.
And as far as magical things that we can do to kind of lend our support to this event, are there things that we can do that would be symbolically helpful to the different rituals and different activities that you have planned?
Well, Friday night and Saturday night, you can meditate on liberty and on Bridget and just ask for her support and protection for us. And we have a little spell we say that goes, may we be in the right place at the right time with the protection, the energy, the wisdom, the support, the love, the health, and all we need to do the work.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Now, where can people go one more time to get information about the event? And also, please be sure to give us your website address, too, so people can learn more about you.
They can go to www.anotherworldispossible.com And my website is www.starhawk.org.
Well, thank you very much, Starhawk, for taking time out of your very, very busy schedule to talk to us about these important movements and events. We really appreciate it. And many blessings of protection and healing and, of course, love to you and the Pagan Cluster, as well as the many other participants.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
And we can rise with the fire of freedom. Truth is the fire that burns our chains, and we can stop the fire of destruction. Healing is the fire running through our veins, and we can rise with the fire of freedom. Truth is the fire that burns our chains, and we can stop the fire of destruction.
Trade floor stands a broker who's a master at the trade, and he's with the biggest brokerage that trades 10 million shares a day in crude oil or in forests or in switch-up factories. And he can make you rich as Midas if you just can get a piece. Buy, 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 let the others work for you. Buy, 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 just watch the numbers on the screen as they go high. Now he's running all around the floor and sweating in his fear, and he screams into a cell phone that employment's up, that can't be good, the labor market's too tight, and if wages start to rise, that will bring inflation and the end of speculation. Sell, 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 keep the workforce lean and mean. Sell, 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 blame the hard times on the unions and the greens. Now he's moving capital all around the world, and he's trading things you never would imagine, and you can't believe are bought and sold like water and like clean air and like molecules and genes, till our very lives are traded and our earth is desecrated, and it all goes just to fund a rich man's schemes. Lies, 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 they said capital would free us. Lies, 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 while the brokers take their cut, the planet dies. Lies, 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 lies.
Thank you for listening to The Talking Stick. If you have suggestions for future programs or would like to comment on a show, email goddess@partytown.com. The Talking Stick is written and produced by Sandy Johnson, engineering provided by Brad Johnson. The Talking Stick is a product of the Party Town Streaming Network at partytown.com/radio. This program is available for non-commercial use and can be downloaded from the A-Infos Project at Radio4All, that's radio4all.net.